Begin the current Daf Masechtas Gittin, Daf Pei Gimel. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the discussion from the previous Daf regarding the Machlekes in our previous Mishnah between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer, regarding if someone says, as a general get says, Hariat Muterz L'chol Adam, you're permitted to every single person, Ela L'plaini, but he added on, except for that other person, which we had a discussion, which was the Machlekes, our Mishnah and the Braisa, regarding if their Machlekes was regarding the terminology of Chutz, except for that person, or amanas leplaini, on the condition that you don't marry that person. And actually, as we'll see, that there will be different opinions going with either one of those interpretations. But the primary concept is that if someone divorced a woman, with the exception of a certain individual, is she divorced for those other people or not? The Chacham said that no, because you didn't totally permit her to every single person. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer said that you're permitted to everybody else besides that person. That's their machlekes. So the Gemara brings that Tanna Rabban learned in the Braisa, La'achar piti rasei shel Reb Eliezer, after that Reb Eliezer passed away, nichnusu arba zekenim laheishav al devar. So the four elders came to respond and dispute his opinion that he said that the woman is divorced for those other people, even though she was divorced with the exception of that certain individual. And Elohein, the four elders were Reb Yosef Lili, Reb Tarfon, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Reb Akiva. These four zekenim, they came and disputed Reb Eliezer's opinion. As the Gemara tells us, then the Reb Tarfon lifted up his voice. Wherever the term aniyah is mentioned in the Torah, it means to say that he spoke in a loud voice. The Amran, he said, Harisha Holchazu, he says, imagine if this woman, after she got divorced, again, she was divorced with the exception of a certain individual. So he says, let's imagine for a second. She goes, and Benisis La'achiv Shalzeh, she goes and she gets married to the brother of this guy, who was the exception of the divorce, meaning for him, she's not considered divorced. So for that person, that she was forbidden because during her divorce, that didn't include that person, and she married his brother, Umeis B'lay Banim. And let's imagine if that person that she married now dies without any children. So says Reb Tarfon, Lo Nimtza Zeh, wouldn't it be coming out that the one who had originally divorced her was Eker Davim in Atayra? He was uprooting a halacha from the Torah, which is a mitzvah of Yibum. Because now, because of the condition that he made, that person who she's not allowed to marry, who is her now Yafim, because his brother, who she was married to, died without any children, and therefore it comes out that he's uprooting a biblical halacha, which is the mitzvah of Yibum. Says Reb Tarfon, Halamadu, what you learn from this is, She'ein ze krisis, that obviously, this cannot be the krisis that the Torah spoke about when they spoke about divorce, because the Torah is not going to speak about and tell you a halacha of krisis, which is going to uproot a biblical halacha of Yibum. So therefore, says Reb Tarfon, that itself would say that Reb Eliezer is incorrect, because if that's correct, then there could be a feasibility of uprooting a biblical halacha of Yibum, and the Torah would never do that. So must mean there's not a krisis, and therefore, like the Chacham, that she's not divorced, if it was with the exception of a certain individual. That was his taina, his claim. Then the Rabbi Yisai Glili Vamed, then Rabbi Yisai Glili lifted up his voice, and he said a different taina. He said, Heichen mitzinu os lezeh umot lezeh. Where do we find that a woman is forbidden to this man and permitted to this man? Rather, ha'asur os lakol. Generally, something that's forbidden is forbidden to everybody. Vamutim ut lakol, what's permitted is permitted for everybody. Halamata, what you learn from this, he says, the she'ein's a krisis, must be this not a krisis, because how could you have that this woman who's divorced is permitted to everyone besides for this person? There's no such a thing, and therefore, it can't be that it's a krisis. Then the Reb Elazar ben Azariah v'amar. Now, the third Zakan, he spoke up and he said, look, krisis, the Torah calls it a sefer krisis. The get is something that's severance, which is davah karis b'noi l'b'noi, something that severs between him and her. Now, in this case, she's still connected to her original husband, to her ex-husband, because through that kedushin that he made with her, which he's not totally severing because she's still being forbidden on one man from the whole population. So halamada tush in zekrisis. So you learn from that it's not a total severance. She's still connected with one person to her husband's original kedushin, and therefore can't be what Reb Eliezer is saying is correct, and therefore the halacha is like the chum, it's not a valid gerushin at all. And then the Rabbi Kiva Vama and the fourth elder spoke up and he said, that's Rabbi Kiva, look, he said, Harisha Holchazu v'nisis la'echad min hashuk. He says, let's imagine, this woman, let's say Rabbi Eliezer was correct. If this woman would go ahead and go marry to someone else, someone in the population, v'hoi labanim, and then she'll have children from that man, v'nis armalo'in, let's say she'll get widowed or get divorced, whatever it is, that relationship is over. V'amdu v'nisus l'zeh sh'nesru lav. And then, after that other person she had married, she'll go ahead and imagine if she's going to go ahead and get married to the man who she was originally forbidden to, who is the exception of the divorce. You're divorced to everybody that you're permitted to get married to besides for that person. So she married someone else, which she's allowed to, again, under the pretext of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Then she imagined after that she went and married that guy. Le'nimtza get batel. Wouldn't that come out retroactively that the get was batel? Because he had told her on the condition that you don't marry that other person. And she did ultimately, subsequently marry that person. So the get is batel, and that means, ubenah, that means to say that her children that she had from the middle husband, amamzeim, are illegitimate children now. Says Rabbi Kiva, all the mother to that teaches you, she'in ze krisis. That cannot be what the Torah said when it meant to do krisis to women, which could bring to Jewish children coming to a situation of psul, of becoming mamzerim. And since there is that feasibility in this case, must be the Torah would not allow that, and that's not a valid krisis, and therefore, nalik Rabbi Yezet said. Davar achar, another tain that Rabbi Kiva had was, a different thing to refute Rabbi Yezet. He said, imagine like this. Let's imagine that, which is possible if you hold like Rabbi Yezet's halacha, that the one guy that the husband singled out, that for him you're not considered divorced, imagine he was a kain. Now, umei samagarsh. Let's say subsequently, later on, the one her ex-husband, the one who had divorced her, ended up dying. Says Rabbi Kiva, le'nimtzis almona etzlei. Wouldn't it essentially be that actually for the one kayin, the one person that was the exception, that for him she was not considered divorced, she's going to actually be considered a widow for that kayin, which seemingly she actually should be permitted to that kayin, because Almon is permitted to marry a kayin, because she was never a grusha to him. She was only a grusha to everyone else. Yet, but v'grusha etzel kaladam. But she is still considered a grusha regarding to the rest of the world, because for the rest of the world, according to Rabbi Yazza, you could do that, you could permit everyone besides one person. So for everyone else, she was considered a grusha. Now, moreover, what's included in this, what Rabbi Kiva is coming to say, is that because of that element of gerushin that she had, because she was considered a divorcee in regards to everyone else besides that one kayin, actually, Torah says that because of that, she's forbidden to the kayin. As we actually said in the previous daf, because the pasuk tells us, grusha me'isha, that a woman's forbidden to marry a kayin, that's, as the pasuk says, that she's divorced from her husband, which the Gemara taught, even if she's only divorced from her husband, which if, let's say, he says her, that you're divorced from me, but you're still forbidden to everyone else, although she can't marry anyone else, she's divorced from her husband, she's actually forbidden to a kayin. So even any element of gerushin that there is, which for sure in this case, which was a grusha to everybody else besides his kayin, so although really for him, she should be permitted, because when the Megarish ends up dying, she's just an amana to him, and Alman is permitted to a kohen, but she will be forbidden to him because of her element of gerushin that she had to everyone else. So that's for sure, like including like Gerusha Me'isha. So says Rabbi Kiva, then Mekal V'chaymer. So then all the more so you should learn from this concept that before the Megarish passes away, that she should be forbidden to everyone else, not like the way Rabbi Eliezer says, that he says that, no, she's permitted to everyone else besides this one kohen. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, based on what I'm telling you, this halach of Gerusha Me'isha, you should most definitely say that she's going to be forbidden to everyone else because of the element of ishus that there is in regards to that kain. Because in regards to that kain, there's still some marriage left in that her ex-husband, and that's how she's forbidden on that one kain over there. What's the Kal V'chaymer? As follows. Ma grusha. Just like we find by the iser of a grusha, shehi kala, which is a very light iser. In other words, there's only a negative prohibition. There's no chiv of miso when one violates that a kain marrying a grusha. Yet still we find that asura, that she's forbidden on this kain, who really she should be permitted to him. Because really she's a widow for him when the megarish ends up dying. She was never a grusha to him. And yet still she's going to be forbidden to him bishvil tzad gerishin sheba, because of the element of her being a divorcee in regards to everybody else. So says Rabbi Kiva, so Eishas ish shehi chamura, so the sin of a married woman, meaning regarding Eishas, regarding being married to someone else, which is a very severe sin, which there is a chiv misa, loy kol shekein? Wouldn't you say that most definitely that would be the same idea, that she should be forbidden regarding someone that she is really permitted to, which are the other people? Because although, yeah, she's grusha to them, but she's still, there's still a tzad Eishas in her, there's still some connectivity of the original marriage with that chutz, who's a kayin. So if we're saying that the Issa Grusha, which they don't have, which they do have, which doesn't apply to him, will apply to him, even though it's a lighter Isser, it actually only applies to Kahanim. Regularly, so Isser Grusha is not a problem. They can marry a Grusha. So when there's this Tzad of Ishas, where the Halach of Ishas is still applies to that Kayin, who's the Chutz, who's the one exception, that Isser Ishas still applies, most definitely then it should apply to everybody else because of him. So Halamad Tashin Zekris Isser Rebbe Kiva. That's my second taina why Rebbe Eliezer's interpretation is incorrect, and that's not going to be considered a krisis because there's still Ishas really for everybody, even though there's not, because of the Tzad Ishas that there is in that one person that was the Chutz, which is the Kayin. And therefore, it's not going to be a gerushin for anybody. Now, after these four elders spoke up and said their piece regarding the rebutting Rabbi Elazar's halacha, Amalem Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua said to them, "Ein meshivin es ha'ari la'achar misa," which literally means to say that we don't respond to the lion after that he died. In other words, that had Rabbi Elazar been alive, maybe he would have responded to your questions, to your responses. And therefore, although now you seem like you have good questions, we can't just refute his opinion because he's not here to defend himself. Now, actually, Amar Rava, he says, Kulu islahu pircha. And actually, Rava says that, as the Gemara will shortly explain after it brings a brayse that says exactly like Rava is saying, actually, all the tainas of all these Zakenim have a response. It's not total refutation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Levar mid Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But except for one of those four, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, his claim, the last lay pircha, where there's nothing flawed in his taina against Rabbi Eliezer, and that is a difficult challenge in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Tanya Mahoch is similar in the Brayso. Amar Biyasi, he says, Roya Anias Divri Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Divri Kulin. He says, from all the tainas that were said against Rabbi Eliezer, I hear Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah is more than all the rest, like Rav had said, because the rest actually all have flaws in their tainas, in their claims against Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, besides Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, which seemingly has a very good claim against Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. As the Gemara illustrates now, Amamar. The Gemara goes back to quote these four opinions, and what are the pirchas, what are the questions on their questions of Rabbi Eliezer? So we said in the Braisa that Nen Reb Tarfon Ba'amra, Reb Tarfon spoke up, and he said the following taina against Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Haresha holcha zu v'nisis la'achiv shal zeh shenesra lav. He says, as we mentioned this before, he says, imagine that, okay, let's say Rabbi Eliezer is correct. Let's play this out to show that it's incorrect. Because imagine that a woman could be divorced, let's say, to everyone besides one person. So imagine if she goes, she gets married to the brother of the guy who she's forbidden to, the one exception. And that guy dies without any children. Isn't it coming out that the Megarish is now uprooting a biblical halacha of Yibum because now that he made him forbidden, now that he's the Yavim of that woman, he's not allowing that to happen. So he's uprooting the biblical halacha of Yibum, and therefore it must be that it's not a krisis and Rabbi Eliezer is incorrect. That's what Reb Tarfon said. And that asked the Gemara, Oiker? What, the Megarish, her ex-husband, is uprooting a biblical halacha, ihu akar? What do you mean, he's uprooting? In other words, you're saying that he's uprooting a biblical mitzvah? It's happening by itself. Yes, maybe there was some causation over there that he was involved because he made a condition, but the word akar sounds like that he actively is doing an isser. But he's not actively doing an isser, her ex-husband. This halacha of Yibam has nothing to do with him, to be miyabim, to say that he's uprooting the mitzvah. What does it mean, he's uprooting it? So rather, the Gemara says, no, what Reb Tarfon's taina was must nalakar davim in atara. He's making conditions to uproot a biblical halacha because his stipulation that this person should be excluded from the gerushin, that taina is uprooting a biblical halacha. And the Gemara still asks, masna? He's making conditions to uproot a biblical halacha? What do you mean? Mi kamala, did her ex-husband tell his ex-wife, Loi sagila, that it's not going to be enough for the gerushin to take effect, to loi mitzvah lei lachud ahu gavra, if she doesn't go ahead and get married to the brother of that man? What does that mean? The ex-husband's stipulation didn't go ahead and uproot the biblical halacha. Don't marry the brother of that guy. It won't be uprooting any halacha of Yibam. Who asked her to go marry the guy? The stipulation itself is not uprooting it. Rather, no, the Gemara says what Reb Tarfon's complaint was goyrim lakar davim natar. He's causing an uproot of a biblical halacha. You're right. He's not uprooting it. He's not even, his stipulation is not causing it. But it's causing now because he made this stipulation. And the woman, yes, on her own decided to marry that guy's brother. And now that when he's dying without any children, because of his tnai, it's going to cause that now a biblical halacha of Yibam is not going to be fulfilled. That the Gemara asks, Goyrim? So what? Because it's causing? El Me'ata, but if that's the case that you're so concerned about causing in an indirect way, Bas Achiv Lo Yisa, a person should never marry his niece, his brother's daughter. Why? Shem Yamas Bulei Banim. Maybe this guy is going to die without any children. The Nimtza Goyim Laka, the Minatarian, is going to cause that a biblical halacha is going to be uprooted because his brother is the father of his wife, and the father can't do yibum to the daughter. So that's going to be causing, by marrying this woman, who is that your brother's daughter, is going to cause that now it's uprooting a biblical halacha, that no yibum is happening for a man dying without any children, so you should never marry a niece. And we know that you're allowed to. But that's the same complaint Reb Tavern's having on Reb Eliezer's opinion. That the Gemara says, Hainu Pircha. Correct. That was Rav's, what he said, that every opinion of the Zakenim have a flaw in their questioning. That was his question. Because, yeah, what's Reb Tavern's complaint? That it's causing, we don't find that to be a problem, that you can't do something which, ultimately will not allow for a certain mitzvah to happen. That's not a problem, and therefore there's no problem in Reb Eliezer's halacha either, according to Reb Tavern's questioning. Now, however, the Gemara asks, as it does for all the different opinions in the four Zakenim who had questions on Reb Eliezer, that Ubamai, what were their conceptualizations? And specifically now we're discussing Reb Tarfin's conceptualization in what was the Machlokes Reb Eliezer and the Rabban. That's because, as we mentioned in the previous daf, there's actually two different interpretations in what they're disputing. There's our Mishnah's interpretation, which is that they're arguing when it says, Hareat Materis L'Chaladim Ela Miplaini, as we explained, it means Chutz Miplaini. It's using the terminology of except. Whereas the Braisa actually qualified their Machlokes regarding a case when he says, Hareat Materis L'Chaladim Amanas Shalei Tenasi L'Plaini, on the condition that you don't marry someone else. And as we explained in the previous step, what's the ramifications of those differences? But the Gemara is going to ask now that, so how did Reb Tarfin understand their machlekes in regards to understanding what was his question on Reb Eliezer? And that is, Ilei Mabachutz, if you would entertain to say that he learned their machlekes like we do in our Mishnah, that it's Hariat Materis L'Chaladim Chutz Miplaini, and that that was what Reb Tarfin's question was, what are you saying? Then what's going to end up happening if you run into a situation where she marries the brother of that guy? And that the Gemara actually asks, Mishrishari Reb Eliezer. Then actually we wouldn't even understand what Reb Tarfin's question is on Reb Eliezer, because actually, in the case that Reb Tarfin described, he actually permits that person who was originally forbidden to the woman through the chutz in the divorce to actually do yibim once she married his brother, meaning as long as she married someone else, as the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, that by marrying someone else, it actually totally uproots her original ishus that she had with her ex-husband, because now she married a new man. And even though the original husband had made conditions and made exceptions for certain people, once she marries someone that she's allowed to, it totally nullifies whatever relationship she had with her first husband. And actually now she would be able to go out and marry that other person. So then what would be Reb Tarfin's question? As if it's causing to be a bitul mitzvah yibum. There's actually no bitul mitzvah yibum. According to Reb Eliezer, you actually could do yibum in that situation. So you kind of like learn a braisa. Meidir Reb Eliezer, the Megarash es ishtei v'amala, and we'll actually explain this on Amud Beis, that Reb Eliezer agrees that if someone divorces his wife and he tells her, Hareyad muteris l'chaladim chutz miplaini, you're permitted to everybody except for that person. Now, so Reb Eliezer generally holds that, okay, so you're divorced and you're allowed to, unlike the Chacham, you're allowed to marry all those other people, but you are still forbidden to that person. But, says Reb Eliezer, if let's say b'holcha v'nisis l'echem v'nashok, let's say she marries some other person from the population, v'nis armalo inis garish, and then she gets widowed or divorced, says Reb Eliezer, Shemuteris Lazesh Nesrolov. You're actually now permitted to marry the person that you originally forbidden by your first ex-husband. And now that Leslie got divorced from that other second husband or widowed from him, you actually could go ahead and marry him. So therefore ask the Gemara that what is exactly, we refuted Reb Tarfin's taina. We showed there's a flaw in it. But the Gemara wants to know, how do we even understand his taina? He's saying that it's going to cause a grumma, let's say, which it's not problematic, but let's say it was grumma, that it's going to cause no yibim. Actually, it's not true. In the case of Reb Materis L'Chaladim Chutz Miplaini, Reb Eliezer actually holds that you actually would be able to do yibim because she married his brother in the interim. So Elrav, the Gemara says, obviously, ba'almanas. Reb Tarfin explains the machlekes Reb Eliezer and Rabban regarding a case of on condition. So on that, since that's a condition and that condition was never fulfilled, so it turns out that retroactively, the get was never valid, and it's actually batala mafreya, so it turns out that she always had an ister aches ish, and actually the second guy that she ended up marrying wasn't valid either. So if let's say you end up marrying a third husband, which is the person that was already always forbidden, not chutz. Chutz is different, because chutz is just leaving over some of the original kedushin by that first husband. That gets totally batal when you're going and marrying with a new kedushin to a new man. But if it's an almanah, it's a condition, that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that doesn't get sublimated into the second marriage. It's still a condition. And like any condition, if you violate that condition, that means to say the get was never valid in the first place. And therefore, when you're marrying the third guy, it actually would be problematic. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to do yibum. So that was what Rabbi Tarfon was talking about, what's going to cause a grumma of not doing yibum, and that the Gemara said, okay, that's not a problem, as we find, you can marry your niece, even though it's not going to be any mitzvah of yibum. Now the Gemara moves on to the next part of the braisa. Nen Rabbi Yisai Glili v'amar. So Rabbi Yisai Glili spoke up, and he said his taina. He said, Heichen mitzinu as lazeh mut lazeh. Where do we find that there's something forbidden to one and permitted to another one? Meaning here you're saying, Rabbi Yisai, oh, she's permitted to these men, but forbidden to that man. Ha'asr, asr l'kol. Generally, something's forbidden. A piece of chazer, it's forbidden to everybody. V'amutim ut l'kol. It's kosher to everybody. What is this that you're dividing and saying that she's divorced for them, but not divorced for him? On that, the Gemara asks, v'loy, it's not so, that you can't have things forbidden to some and permitted to others? V'hari truma o kodshim, but you have truma and kodshim, shasu lazeh, mutaris lazeh, that it's forbidden to a non-kohen and it's permitted to kohanim. So what's the problem? So the Gemara says, no, b'isu isha kaminim. We meant in regards to the prohibition of having relations with a woman, for that, where do we find that she permitted to some and forbidden to others? The Gemara says, what do you mean? Bahari Arayas. You have a person's close relatives, like his daughter and his sister, which is only forbidden to him, but it's permitted to others. So you see that it could be a Sturul Lezem with Taras Lezem. So the Gemara says, no, Be'ish is Kamrin. What we were talking about was regarding a woman, that the reasons why she's forbidden to others is because of her relationship in the husband-wife relationship, that she became forbidden to others because of a kedushin. Where do we find that a woman is partly married to someone and partly not married? We don't find that. And therefore here, how could she be still somewhat mekudeshes to her ex-husband in regards to that one and to others not? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a married woman who is permitted to her husband and yet forbidden to everyone else. So you see, in ishes, it could be partly permitted to some, meaning the husband, and forbidden to others. So what's the problem in this case where she'll be, forbidden to this chutz, but permitted to everyone else, even through the relationship of Eishas Ish? So the Gemara says, Hainu Pircha, that was exactly what Rabbi's question was, which, then the same thing should apply to the case of chutz, where you can find, even through Eishas, where her forbidden status is through a relationship, and yet it'll be permitted to one and forbidden to others. So therefore you could say the same thing also, that she'll be permitted to others and forbidden to this one. Now the Gemara, again, to clarify, says, Ubamai. Now how did Rabbi Yosi Aglili learn the interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer that permits this gerushin for when there was a chutz, that, in other words, that he had to that he had this question on Rabbi Eliezer, how was the way that he conceptualizes? So as the Gemara goes, Ilei Mabalmanas, if he would entertain like the way Rabbi Tarfon learned their machlekes, that he learned that Rabbi Eliezer was talking about Hareit Mataris Lachalodim Almanas on the condition that you don't marry this one individual. Now the problem with that is Hare Hutra Etzle Beznus, is that if you use the terminology of Almanas, then essentially what you're saying is you're permitted to everybody, even that one person. But the condition is Almanas, like we said, what's the condition? Almanas Shaliti Nasi Laza, on the condition that you don't marry that person. Now, the thing is, she's forbidden to marry that person, but he's not leaving over any, like when there's chutz, you're just sheer. You're leaving over some of the kedushin. So there's still mukadeshes, and she's like married to a person. You're forbidden to have any intimate relationship with another man. But when you're totally divorcing her, you're just making a condition, a stipulation that she doesn't marry that person. So she is permitted, again, znus is never an appropriate thing, but at least in regards to the kedushin, she's permitted to have znus with that man, to have unmarried relations, because the condition was only not to get married to that person. So therefore, essentially what the Gemara's question would be then how does Rabbi Yosef Lili, his complaint was, how do you have Asur Lezeh Mutaris Lezeh? But actually, if it's Almanas, then she's actually Lakoil one way. She's actually Mutaris Lakoil. She's permitted to everybody on some level. To everybody else she's permitted even to get married to. And even this one exception, she is permitted to him, again, not to get married, but permitted to have his nurse with him, so she's permitted to him. So therefore, what's Rabbi Yosef Lili's question? Elabach Otzra, the Gemara says that must be Rabbi Yosef Lili actually learns the machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan in the case of when he said, Areit Materis L'Cholon Chutz Miplani. Now that's why Rabbi Yosef Lili had asked, in that situation, she's actually totally forbidden on that person. Because he's not, for that person, she's not considered divorced. There's some shear in the Kedushin. She's still somewhat married to her husband just in regards to that person. So then even znus is forbidden, which is obviously what happens with the eshes tish. The man, a woman is married to a man, then even if she just has unmarried relations with a man, that's the chiv misa of eshes tish. So that would be how Rabbi Yosef Galili conceptualized it. Again, in regards to a case of chutz, that's how he understood their machlekes, and that's why he had his question, how could you be asur lakol and muteres lakol? But again, that's what we showed the flaw in that too, because we find by eshes tish that she's permitted to the husband and forbidden to others. You see, it could be asur lazeh, muteres lazeh. Now, skipping Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who he said there is no refutation on his question, the Gemara goes to the part of the Brayis that says, Nen Rabbi Kiva v'amar. Rabbi Kiva spoke up and he said his tain. He said, look, HaReisha Holcha Zuv V'nisid L'Echem B'Nashuk. He says he's described what could be the problem with the way Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. He says, imagine if this woman goes, she marries someone in the population, another Jewish man. V'hoi L'banim, she has children from him. V'nis Armalo, in this case, now she gets widowed or divorced from that husband. She goes and gets married to that person as a third husband that was the exception, the one that she was forbidden to. Says to Bekiva, isn't it going to come out retroactively that the get now is void and her children are mamzerim from that middle husband that she had? And the Torah would never do such a thing and therefore can't be that's considered krisis. That was his tain against Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's Rabbi Kiva's tain against Rabbi Eliezer, then Bekulu tenai di alma nami loy tinsim. Then what does that have to do with this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer? According to Rabbi Kiva, a woman should never get married if there's any stipulation in the gerushin, because dimul lemekayim lo l'tanei. Maybe she's not going to fulfill the condition. Let's say the condition was you're divorced on the condition that you nurse my child for 3 months, or you serve my father for 3 months. A woman should never be considered divorced because she might not do it, and if she might not do it, benim to get botel, benim bamzim, it's come out that the get is void, and her children, if she has children in the interim, let's say it was to serve my father for 3 years. And she goes and gets married to someone else. Oh, I'm divorced. I just got to make sure I keep this tonight. And if she doesn't, her children are mamzerim. And we know that there are obviously halachas of tanai in the get. So the Gemara says, Hainu pircha. Yeah, that is the flaw. That's the question in Bekiva's taina, where according to what he's saying, that's a question in general about any tanai. And we know that we can do that. You have a tanai, you have to fulfill it. Now the Gemara clarifies, as we did regarding the other zakenim, ubamai. Now, how did Rabbi Kiva understand the halacha, the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, that he was asking his question? And that is, ilayim abachutz, if you would entertain the way we just said from Yosef Galili, that he learned it, as we did in our Mishnah, that the machlekes that they're arguing about is regarding a case when he says, harayet materis l'adam, chutz miplein, except for that person. And that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Mishra shari, Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Kiva's complaint? His complaint was, what do you mean? She's going to marry someone else. Then she'll go and marry that person. Now it's going to come out retroactively that it's void because those children are going to be mamzerim. Ask the Gemara, if it's actually a case of chutz, the children would not be mamzerim. Because actually Rabbi Eliezer permits the woman to marry that chutz if she had married someone in the interim, which is the case Rabbi Kiva is describing. The town, like we brought this brisa before, Maidaha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer agreed, but Megarash is Ishli V'amala, that if a person is divorcing a woman and he tells her, Haret Matasal Khaladm Khutz me plain, you permit it to everyone except for that person. Vahalchim and this is Lechem and Ashok, and she goes and marries someone else. Vinis Armalo in this garsha, then she gets widowed or divorced. Shemutaris Lazeshan Eslov, that she's actually permitted to the person that she was forbidden. And again, as we explained, because that's the Kedushin that was there, that was left over, but she can't be married to two people at the same time. And since when she marries someone else, that totally voids the original Kedushin that was left over from her husband with that guy. So now she can go ahead and get married to that guy. So what's Rabbi Kiva's complaint? His complaint was, oh, if she's going to then, after a different husband, marry him, and then it's going to come out the children are mamzerim, but they're not going to be mamzerim because she's actually allowed to marry him now. So El Baal Manas, rather the Gemara says, must be, the way Rabbi Kiva conceptualized the Machlekes was regarding a case of on condition. Well, on condition, that would be a problem because that we said just the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, and therefore he says it can't be the case of Krisis because the Torah would never validate a Gerishin, a Krisis, which would cause Bnei Yisrael to become Psulim. That was one of his tainas. Now, Dava Achar, the Braisa said, another taina that Rabbi Kiva had a tshuva against Rabbi Yezer's opinion was the following idea. He said the following kalvachim. It says, Harisha hoyize shenesro love kain. It says, imagine if, let's say, this one person that was left out from the gerushin that she's still forbidden to was a kain. Now, we said, umesa magarish. And when the one who divorced her on this condition, except for this kain, when he dies, essentially, we said, Leinimtsa salmona etzle, wouldn't she really be considered a widow to that kain? Really, she should be permitted to that kain, because she was never divorced. A kurusha is forbidden to kain, almona is permitted. And she was never divorced from him. But since v'grusha etzel kol adam, but since we said that she is a grusha, she had a status of a divorcee because in regards to everyone else, so we said, as we learned in the previous stuff, therefore she's actually going to be forbidden to that kohen too, because a grusha me'isha, even if she has just some element of gerushin, will make her forbidden as a grusha to the kohen who she actually was really only a widow to. So said Rabbi Akiva, v'kavo chaymer. Now kavo chaymer says that it should work the other way too. Because in Magrusha Shikala, if being a divorcee, which that Issa to a Kohen is a very light Issa, it's just an Issa lav, just a negative prohibition. Asura Mishrim Tzad Gerishin Sheba, still she's forbidden to that Kohen because of the element of Gerishin that there was regards to them. So Esha says Chamur, so says Rabbi Akiva, so being a married woman, which is a severe a death penalty for that violation, which she does have that Tzad regarding that Kohen, Loi Kol Shekein, isn't the most definitely that should transfer to them? Just like the tzad gerushin that they have goes to the kohen, for sure the tzad eishes ish that she has with him should transfer to them, and therefore she's not permitted to anybody. Because the element of eishes ish will make her forbidden to everybody, just like it makes her forbidden to that kohen. So that was Rabbi Akiva's second taina. Now, the Gemara asks, ubemai. Now, how did Rabbi Akiva conceptualize this machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham? And that is, ilema ba'amanas, if you say actually the way it was said in Rabbi Akiva's first taina, that he conceptualized the machlokes regarding a case of harayat mataras l'chol adam al menash le'tinasi l'poin, on the condition that you don't marry someone else. But another Gemara continues on Tamad Beis, but haray grusha etz le'biznus. But she actually is considered divorced to that kayin. How so? In regards to znus. Because as we explained, when you're saying al menash, you're really making her divorced for everybody. Just there's a condition. What's the condition? Don't marry that person. But for znus, she is considered a grusha to him. She is considered divorced to him right away when there was the gerushin being done. So therefore, actually when her first husband dies, there always was some element of gerushin for even this chutz that there always was there. So therefore, asks the Gemara, if the case that Rabbi Akiva understands in the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer Chacham is going on Amanas, then there actually is no Kal Vachomer. Because there's a pircha on that kavachemer, there's something flawed in that kavachemer. Because if you're going to say that the kohen is going to be forbidden to marry this widow, which really is just a widow for him, because of the element of gerushin that there is in her, that's because even regarding to the kohen himself, there was some element of gerushin. What do you mean? She's not divorced to him. She's not allowed to marry him. She is divorced to him. As we see that she permitted to have znus with him, again, you're not allowed to have znus, but she's not considered an eishes ish having znus to him. It's just a condition not to marry him. Now, she's not marrying him. She's having relations without being married. And she's not married to the husband at all anymore because he did a total gerushin. So, yes, so that's why we'll say that she's forbidden to him because there was some element of gerushin to him. But what the Gemara is asking is, how can you say that she should be forbidden based on Rabbi Akiva's Kal Vachomer, to the rest of the people because of the element of Ishus that there still is with her, to that Kayin who is the exception, who there actually is no element of Ishus at all to those other people. Who said that's going to work? By the Kayin, it's not like he has no Gerushin and we're just transferring their Gerushin to him. There is some element of Gerushin too also if it's by a case of Amanas. Because she is totally divorced. There's no Chutz. There's no leaving over of the Kedushin. It's totally divorcing. It's just Amanas. But there is some element of gerushin that she's not considered a married woman. Let's say if she was mezana with him, there would be a problem of eishes if she went and married him. So therefore, what would be the kavul chaimer? Those people don't have any element of eishes. So maybe that we wouldn't transfer by the kohen. There is some element. So Elrav, the Gemara says, must be that b'chutz, that Rabbi Akiva understood the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer in the case of harayat mataras l'chalavim chutz mipleini. And therefore, there's no gerushin whatsoever, meaning even regarding to znus, she's still forbidden to him. She's considered actually still a married woman in regards to that kohen. So since there's no element of gerushin at all, so that's why Rabbi Akiva could say the Kal Vachomer, since there's no, the way he understood that they're arguing the case of chutz, since there's no gerushin whatsoever to the kohen, and yet he'll be forbidden to her as if she's a grusha, because there's gerushin to the others, then Kol Shekein, for sure Kal Vachomer should work the other way, by Ishus, which is a stronger issa that the kohen does still have, should transfer over to the rest of the people. Now, that the Gemara asks, according to these two questions that Rabbi Akiva asks, one is going on chutz, and one's going on manas. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Akiva, I chutz virulei, if he learned and conceptualized the machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan in that they're arguing and disputing regarding a case of harayat mataras l'chol adam chutz mipleini, well then leisiv, then he should have asked only the second question that he asked in the Braisa in the case of Chutz, which we just explained has to be going if you learn it in the case of Chutz. And V'i Amanas V'ile, and if he learned that their Machlekes was regarding that on condition, well then Leisav Amanas, then he should have only asked the first question and not the second question, as we explained that each question is exclusive if you learn either Amanas or Chutz. So how is he asking these two questions when they're actually contradictory and how do you conceptualize the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Shmile, Rabbi Kiva had heard the Ikad de Amar Chutz. There were those, and actually as we mentioned on the previous stuff, that there is a Machlekes, how to learn the Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Our Mishnah said in the case of Chutz, and the Braisa said in the case of Amanas. So he heard those who said that they're disputing in the case of Chutz. The Ikad Amar Amanas, and he heard those who say that no, their Machlekes was regarding a case of unconditioned. So on that says Rabbi Kiva, Man da Amar Chutz, the one who learns the Machlekes by Chutz, he says, Hi Percha. He said the second question that he had. Man da Amanas, and the one who interprets their Machlekes regarding unconditioned, Hi Percha, he had the first question. And that's why he had these two questions, one for either interpretation of their Machlekes. Now the Gemara asks, Umay Percha. Now, so what we already showed the flaw in his first question. Now, what is the question that we could ask on this second taina of Rabbi Kiva, which again is this Kavo Chaymer, which we just said that if she's not grusha to the kohen and only to others, yet she'll be forbidden to him as a grusha. So if he's forbidden as ishus, sure we should extend that to the other people, where Rava said that all these zakenim have a pircha except for Rabbi Lezman. Sorry, what would be the pircha on this second taina of Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says, if you would think, which seems like the easy question on Rabbi Kiva's taina, would be, what's the comparison? Maybe the Isuri Kahuna are different. Maybe you're right. We cannot transfer one thing to another. No, for them, she's married to him, this chutz, but not married to them. She's permitted to them. Now your question is, what do you mean, Kavo Chaymer? If Grusha, which is a light Isur, only applies to them and not to him, and yet he's going to be forbidden because of them, oh, for sure, she'll work the other way. No, kahuna is different. As we find many times in the Torah, many mitzvahs that kahanim have, more stringency than the rest of the Jewish people, and therefore, yes, we would extend the status of gerushin that she has to others, to him too. But that's only because he's a kain, and they're more severe in their stringencies. Who said that the same thing would apply in the reverse to non-kahanim, to say that the iser ishus, even if it's a more stringent iser, to them? Who said? Now, so says the Gemara, if you're going to say that would be the percha on Rabbi Kiva, but there's a problem with that. Because Rabbi Yezer himself, who he's the one that says, Hareyat Muteres L'Chaladim, Chutz Mimeni, he says that in such a case, Mimenu, since he says that actually she will be divorced to those other people in that case, except for that person, Nami Me'isra Kuhuna Kamaisi Lei, he himself learns the halacha of other people from the Isra Kuhuna. Meaning, as we learned in the previous daf, the pasuk says that an isha that's grusha me'isha, divorced from her husband, meaning, as we conceptualize the case, where she's only divorced from the husband, but she's actually still forbidden to everyone else, so that we learned from the pasuk, Rabbi Eliezer learned that, oh, you see from there that she's pasul to kahuna. So from there we learn, oh, from the fact that she's pasul to kahuna, must be that that's a valid get, even though something was left over. In that case, for sure it's left over, she's still forbidden to everyone else. So on that, actually, Rabbi Eliezer went so far to say that what you learn from there is actually a leniency, which the leniency was that she actually will be considered divorced with all these other people, not like the Chacham would dispute that. And Rabbi Eliezer does not say that, oh, Issa Kahuna is different. How could I learn from there? Yeah, for the Kayin, she's considered divorced because they're more stringent, and therefore she'll be forbidden to a Kayin as a Grusha. But who said I could say that that's considered a valid Gerushin to permit her to marry these other people? He doesn't say that. He even learns a leniency. So the Gemara is asking, if so, for sure, in this situation, you could ask, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if he learns from Issa Kahuna as a leniency, for sure you should learn it as a stringency, and therefore you should say Rabbi Kiva's taina, that just like her gerushin invalidates her to Kahuna, so therefore the same thing should apply in the reverse, that the tzad ishus that she has in that kain, for sure should apply to other people. Because he does learn from Issa Kahuna, even as a leniency, to permit this halacha that we're actually discussing. So what's the pircha on Rabbi Kiva? The only one we can think of is that how could you learn from Issa Kahuna, which they're different, but Rabbi Eliezer himself is the one who learns from there. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva for sure has a taina on his opinion. So I think Mara says that now, Rava, that said that all these Akenim, that there's a flaw in their pirchas on Rabbi Eliezer, Krebianai Mishum Zokin Echad Kamasni. He learned that the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer was not learned out, as we had said, from the pasuk of Grusha Me'isha. Which, yeah, if you learn from there, then of course Rabbi Kiva would have a taina, because you do learn from Kuna, and you even learn it as a leniency. So for sure, then you should learn it as a stringency to say that other should be forbidden, which Rabbi Eliezer's halach is not saying that. Rava had learned that the reason of Rabbi Eliezer was like the other interpretation mentioned over there, which is learned from a different pasuk where it says, V'hoysa le'ish achar. Not learned out from Isra Kuna. That it said that if she goes and marries some other person, it says in the singular, which even if she is only divorced to marry one person, oh, you see, she's considered divorced, and she could be permitted, even though she's forbidden to other people. So that, since Rava had learned like that manda oma, like that interpretation, that's why he asked Rabbi Kiva to say that, how can you ask on Rabbi Eliezer from what you're seemingly kavo chayme, if let's say that chutz is a kayin, Isra Kuna is different, and therefore there's no question to Rabbi Eliezer. Again, that was because Rava learned like that other interpretation. Now, we mentioned before, at the end of that braisa, that Amalan Rabbi Yeshua, B'Shua said to them, you can't respond to the line to this great Tzaddik Rabbi Eliezer after he passed away. You sound like you have good tainas, but even if you have a taina, which actually we ended up showing that there are flaws in the tainas, but even the one that has, let's say, good taina, he's not around to respond, maybe he would have an answer. Now, the Gemara wonders, lememer Rabbi Yeshua kavosei severely? Is that to say that Rabbi Yeshua holds like, it sounds like he's defending Rabbi Eliezer as if he holds Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? But he himself has a refutation of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, as the Gemara is shortly going to bring in the Braisa. So what's he going defending Rabbi Eliezer? So that the Gemara answers, no, this is what he was telling them. He says, Lididi nami isli pircha. Don't think for a second, I also have a question on his opinion. But said Rabbi Yeshua, however, bein lididi, bein liditru, whether for my question or for your questions, still, even though we have questions, we can't respond to him and just refute his opinion now that he's not here to defend his opinion. He might have had an answer for our questions. So the Gemara asks, Umay Pirchad Rabbi Yeshua. So what was Rabbi Yeshua's own question? The time, like, learn the Braisa, Amri Rabbi Yeshua, he says, Makish Koid Mehavayashnia. We make an equation, we compare the status of this woman in her single status before she gets married a second time, meaning between her divorce and her second marriage, to her single status that she was in before she ever got married the first time. Now, the reason being is because actually the pasuk does equate a woman's single status before she gets married the first time and before she gets married a second time. Because the pasuk says, Hikach ish isha, it says when the man will take a woman, which that's talking about before, and then she's getting married, that's the first time she gets married. Then the pasuk continues and says, oh, and then if, let's say, he doesn't want her anymore, and he gets divorced, and then says, v'hoi slish achar, she'll get married to another man, which that's the second time she has kedushin. So we see that the pasuk is equating her status going into the first marriage as it is into the second marriage. So it says to Yeshua, so there's an equation between those statuses. So ma koid mi havai rishayna, so just like before a woman gets married the first time, she's not attached at all to any other man because she was always single. She never got married. So too, before her status, before she's getting married a second time, meaning after her divorce from her first husband, must be the same thing, that she's not attached to any other man, which refutes Rabbi Eliezer's opinion because he said that you could still be attached when you're getting married to a second man because you could say that you could permit her from the first divorce to everybody besides one person, so you're still connected to that person on some level. So that's why he says it can't be, because you see, like the first time you get married, you weren't connected to anyone. Before you're getting married a second time, has to be the same way. That was his own tying against Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara goes back Gufa. We mentioned Anomen Aleph, that was mentioned two times, this concept of Moed Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that B'megarash Ishtoi V'Amarla, that if someone divorces his wife and he tells her, you're permitted to everyone except for that person. So as we mentioned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer holds that she's permitted to everyone else, but she is forbidden to that person because there was some kiddushin left over and she's still an eshes ish in regard to that person. But says Rabbi Eliezer, let's say she goes and she gets married to someone else from the population, from the street, and then she gets widowed or divorced from that other husband. Then she's permitted to that person that she was originally forbidden on from the first husband's divorce when he had said chutz, that he left over some kedushin. As we explained, that gets voided when she then creates a different kedushin with a new man. Now that heishiv Rabbi Shimon ben Bar Elazar, tshuva l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Elazar had a response a taina against this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, which up until now we were discussing Rabbi Eliezer's primary halacha. Now this ed, which they were kashas from these zikanim. Now regarding an addendum of this halacha, regarding if she marries someone in the interim, now we have a different taina from Rabbi Shimon bar Laza on that halacha. He says, Heichen mitzinu, where do we ever find such a thing? Shezeh oiser, that this person should be creating an iser. In other words, like the case we're describing over here, where it's the first husband who made her forbidden on that person, because he made the kedushin, and he's not releasing that part of the kedushin. Vezeh mater, so one person makes something forbidden, and another person could make it permitted? Meaning, now that she gets married to a second person, he's permitting that? How do you ever find that, that one person creates an iser, and someone else can permit someone else's iser? How does that guy permit that person's iser? So that the Gemara responds to Rabbi Shimon bar Laza, the loy? Well, you don't find that someone could create an iser and someone else could permit someone else's iser? Vahari yavama, but you have the bai yavama. The baal iser, the husband made his wife forbidden to marry other people through his marriage. The yavam mater, so she's not going to marry anyone to the shuk, but the yavam, when he does yibum machalitza, he permits it now to other people. So you see that the issue is created by the husband, and then the yavam goes ahead and now permits it. So the Gemara says, no, hasam yavam hu ka'asr la. There it's actually the yavam who's creating the iser, and that's why he could permit it, either by doing yibum machalitza. The imi baal, because if you would entertain, let's say the yavam l'shuk, she's not allowed to marry anyone in the street until the yavam does something to release her from the bonds of the husband. If you think it's coming from the husband, hashari v'kaima, based on him, she's permitted to marry anyone else. If there's no brother around over here, the second the husband dies, she's allowed to marry anyone else. It's him who's creating the iser, so therefore he could go ahead and permit it. But to permit someone else's iser, says Reb Shimon bar Laza, there's no such a thing, and that's why he asked this question on Reb Eliezer. But on that, the Gemara continues to ask on Reb Shimon bar Laza. Hari nedarim, but you find by vows, the noider iser, the one who takes the vow is creating the iser. V'chacham ater, a sage could go ahead and permit someone else's iser. So you find someone else permitting someone else's iser. On that he answers, no. Ha'am Rabbi Yechon, Rechon says, ein chacham ater klum. A sage cannot permit anything, ela becharata, only if he finds an opening for the one who took the vow in some element of regret, where he didn't realize what was going to be the consequences of his actions through the nether. Had he known that this was going to be, he would never have made the nether. So it comes out that from its inception, there was never a nether. All he does is shows you that you really never took a nether. So therefore, he's not permitting something you made forbidden. He's actually showing you that there was never any iser. You never really took the nether. But for someone else to permit someone else's iser, he still holds firm that that would be incorrect of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. But the Gemara still asks on him. Hari afar sabal, you have when the husband nullifies the vow of his wife, the isha nederes, the woman makes the neder, ubal mefer, and the husband just nullifies it without any regret on her part, he could just undo her iser. So you see that there is such an element of someone forbidding someone else's iser. So that he answers there too, no. Hasam kedrav Pinchas me shmei derabba. That's like Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rabba. The Amra Pinchas me shmei derabba, he says, kol ha nederes, any married woman who takes a vow, al das bailehi nederes, it's only with the understanding that if my husband is going to want the vow, then I'm taking the vow. But if not, I don't want it to ever have been a vow. So his hafara is not permitting what someone else had forbidden. It's actually saying that it was never a vow in the first place. And that's where the halacha of hafara comes in. That's the understanding what she's doing when she's taking the vow as a married woman. So therefore he holds firm in his taina against Rabbi Eliezer regarding this added halacha of when you say chutz mipleini and she marries someone else, that Rabbi Eliezer says, now you can go ahead and marry that plainly? That he says, how could you do that? How do you ever find that marrying someone else, he would be able to permit something that the first person had originally made usser, you don't find someone permitting someone else's isser. Now the Gemara returns that the one that we skipped from the Braisa, that we said that actually there's no pircha on what his pircha was on Rabbi Eliezer, was Nin Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari v'amer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari spoke up and he said that it says in the Torah Krisis, says that you have to write for the woman a book of severance, which is davar karis b'noi l'benad, something that severs between him and her. Halamad teshein zikris, he says very simply, it can't be, Rabbi Eliezer's halacha would be correct, that can't be, it's not a krisis, it's not totally severing, because he's leaving over some of the kedushin between him and her in regards to that other person, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer is incorrect. Now the Gemara wonders, v'rabbanon, all those other rabbis that we mentioned, that didn't learn their percha on Rabbi Eliezer from here, high krisis ma'avdile, what do they do with this pasuk? Meaning Rabbi Eliezer ben Zari is using it seemingly as a clear proof, not like Rabbi Eliezer, because it has to be total severance,
Obviously, they don't learn like that, so what do they use the pasuk for? And that's why they ask their questions from other places. So the Gemara says, Mibayilahu likadetanya. They needed this term of krisis to teach a different halacha. And therefore, they couldn't use it as a tanya against Rabbi Eliezer, as we learned in the Braisa. If a husband tells his wife, Hareza gitich amenash le tishliyayin. This is your get. On condition, you know, there's certain problems that you have. On condition that you don't drink wine. Or amenash le telchel beis avicha. I'm only going to give you a get. On the condition that you don't go to your father's household. So the Braisa says it depends on the time limitation that he places on these conditions. If he says, Li'olam, for the rest of your life, you shouldn't be drinking wine, or you shouldn't be going to your father's house, Se'ein Zekrisis. So that's not a, it's not a gerushin, it's not a severance, because the only thing that will separate her from him is when she finally dies. Because until the day that she dies, she's still attached to him. So that's not a severance, that's not a gerushin. But if, let's say, the stipulation was only for Shloshim Yom, the 30 days, so Harei Zekrisis, that's a valid gerushin right away, and then she just has to fulfill the condition. But it's something that's not forever. There is a severance over here. It's just a stipulation that has to be fulfilled for whatever amount of time that it is. And therefore, that's a valid gerushin. So that's what they do with the krisis. To tell you that the limitation cannot be forever, until that tonight cannot go on forever, that's a problem with krisis. But not regarding to the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, that they didn't use the word krisis to say that it has to be total severance between people for that woman. It just has to be regarding his connection with her. That can't be forever. That has to be a krisis. But regards to her, she is totally karis. Regards to everybody else, it's just for that one person that they didn't learn from that halacha of krisis, because those are different qualifications of what the krisis is. They used it for that halacha. They didn't have an extra source of another element of krisis to teach you that other halacha. But v'idach, however, Elazar ben Azariah mikaris krisis nafka. Yeah, he says that you actually learn two halachas from this. Because it could have just said Sefer Karis, which would have told us the halach of this Braisa. Why does it call it Krisus? To tell you these two halachas, one is that it can't be for this woman a Tanai forever, and moreover is that it can't be only a part severance regards to certain people and not to other people. But Ve'idach, however, the other rabbis, Karis Krisus Leidarshi. They didn't learn that there's any significant difference in that we could learn that two halachas from the fact that it could have said Karis instead of said Krisus. They say, no, it's the same thing, it's just talking about Krisus. And if we could only learn out that one halacha, which is that the Tanai cannot be L'Olam, but they couldn't use that as a source to refute the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why they went to other places to refute the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, so relating to this halacha that we just brought in, because we explained what do the Rabbanan learn out from krisis, not like the time of Elazar ben Azariah, which is regarding this element of total krisis, and your tanai cannot go on forever. So the Gemara brings in that Amar Rava, he says, if let's say Hariza Gitech, if a husband tells his wife, this is your get, Amanas Shalei Tishli Yayin Kol Yimei Chayai, as long as you don't drink wine, as long as I'm alive. That's what the husband says, as long as I, me, the husband, is alive. Says Rava, Ein Zeh Krisis, that's not a valid krisis. But if, let's say, the condition is, as long as that person lives, let's say, I don't like that you're drinking, then as long as your father is alive, or whatever it is, or my father's alive, so I raise a krisis, that would be a valid krisis. So the Gemara asks on Rabbis Halacha, what's the difference that if he stipulates it based on someone else's life? That it's going to be a valid gerushin, the dilma mo'is, because maybe that person will die sometime when the woman is still alive, and that will be a fulfillment of the condition. And therefore, there is a severance. It's not being attached to her till the day that she dies, because that guy could die in a few years from now. So therefore, it is considered krisis. So chai didei nami. So even the husband's own life should be the same thing also. Maybe he's going to die before her. She'll fulfill the condition, and therefore, at some point, there was a total severance from him. Even before she died, so why, when he makes it based on his own life, is it not a krisis? So Ela Emarav, the Gemara says, you're right. You have to say what Rabbi had said was, Kol Yimei Chayai Chi. He said that if he says, you cannot drink as long as you are alive, that's Ein Zeh Krisis. That's what we said, because there she's never going to have a severance until the day that she dies. That's not krisis, that's death to us part. But that's not Gerishtin creating parting. So that wouldn't be a krisis. But you're right, Kol Yimei Chayai, or Chayai Plenty, but if it's based on his life, on someone else's life, Hareza Krisis, that would be a valid Krisis. Now the Gemara continues in the related to what we mentioned before, which will come into this Machlekes of HaMishnah of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham regarding when a person says that you're permitted except for a certain individual. So we had the Machlekes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, so the Gemara continues with a related Halacha. Rav asked from Rav Nachman the following question. And that is, if let's say a husband gives his wife a get, And he tells her, Hayom i'at ishti. Today, you're not my wife. In other words, only today I want you to be divorced from me. Ulamachar at ishti. But tomorrow, you are my wife. In other words, tomorrow, I don't want it to be considered gerushin. So essentially what he did was, is that he left over some in the get. He didn't give the get total authority to do a total divorce. It was a limited gerushin. Just for today, you're divorcing me. But tomorrow, you're not divorcing me. Maho, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Tibayli Rabbi Eliezer. You could ask this question both according to Rabbi Eliezer, who, as we found by another context of this, that he permitted shear, leaving over something by gerushin. As we said, that he says, if you say, Harayat muteres l'chalad m'chutz mi'plani, that is considered valid gerushin, even though something's being left over in the gerushin. And Tibayli Rabbanan, you could also ask the question according to Rabbanan, who invalidated up until now what we saw of shear, where they said in such a case that you said chutz miplani, it's not a total gerushin, you're leaving over something of the kedushin. They said that it's possible. You could ask the question according to either one. As the Gemara explains, Tibayli Rabbi Eliezer, you could ask the question according to Rabbi Eliezer, because ad kan l'kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam, where do we find in the halacha of our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says it's kosher, even though you're leaving over some of the gerushin? That's only because dilaman de kashari, because at least for the people that he did permit her to, which was everyone except for that person, kashari li'aylam, that permissibility was forever. You're totally divorced and permitted to them. So for the fact that he left over something just regard to that person, fine. But that since that's totally permitting them, that's why she permitted to them. Aval hachalai. But here, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that no, because here for nobody is he totally permitting her, because he's only divorcing her for today, but tomorrow she's forbidden to everybody. So maybe such a shear, such a remnant, he would agree that's not considered a valid gerushin. No, maybe there's no difference. No, he allows you to leave over. You don't have to do, you could do qualitative divorce, just like it could be permitted for some people and some people forbidden. So too, you could be permitted for today, but tomorrow forbidden. And to Bailu Rabban, you could ask the question according to the Rabbanan. Where ad can lekam Rabban Hasan, because where do we find in the halacha of a Mishnah that they say it's possible when you have shear beged? That's eldlei paskim and elegamri. That's because she wasn't totally removed from him, because he was still holding on to her in the sense of that she's still forbidden to that person, so she's still connected to her husband, at least in regards to somebody. Aval hacha kiven de paska, but in this case, since she is totally removed from him today, totally regarding everybody, so she's totally free from him, not connected with any of his tentacles at all regarding today, so maybe the Rabbana would agree that paska, that then she is totally removed from him forever, and therefore she's not his wife anymore, until he would have to go back and do kedushin again, and therefore actually his condition would not be a valid condition, and it wouldn't be that lamacher, that it's not a get, it actually would be that she's totally divorced. So although he's leaving over something in the gerushin, maybe they would agree in such a case that it would be a valid gerushin, because at least for today it's a total divorce, and therefore they would maintain that she is divorced from him. So that the Gemara says that Basud Debaya had the pashta. After Rav had asked this question from Nachman, he then resolved it and said, as we continue on top of Pedal Menalv, Mistabra, it's logical to say that Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Bein Rabbanan, according to either interpretation, Kivin the Paska. Once she was severed from him, she severed. You can't say that you divorced me today, oh, tomorrow you're not divorced. What does that mean? I'm not related to you anymore. And therefore, even though tomorrow you said, I'm not divorcing you, it's too late. Once I'm divorced, I'm divorced. And for the next day, you would only be able to do a new kedushin to be remarried. But once it stopped. And therefore, even in this case, the Rabbanan would agree. And we said you could even ask it according to Rabbi Eliezer, but even the Rabbanan would agree that it would be considered a valid gerushin, because essentially there's no real shear beget over here. Because although he wanted to leave it in timeline, but once that's a severance, you can't hold on to something post-severance because you're not connected anymore. And therefore, everyone would agree in this case that she would be considered a megureshes.